2:14. They're called naked because left to the proprium. For those who are left to the proprium, that is, to themselves, have no longer anything of intelligence and wisdom or of faith, and consequently are naked as to truth and good, and are therefore an evil. 2:15. That the proprium is nothing but evil and falsity has been made evident to me from the fact that whatever spirits have at any time said from themselves has been so evil and false that whenever it was made known to me that they spoke from themselves, I at once knew that it was false, even though while speaking they were themselves so thoroughly persuaded of the truth of what they said as to have no doubt about it. The case is the same with men who speak from themselves. And in the same way, whenever any persons have begun to reason concerning the things of spiritual and celestial life or those of faith, I could perceive that they doubted and even denied. For to reason concerning faith is to doubt and deny. And as it is all from self or the proprium, they sink into mere falsities, consequently into an abyss of thick darkness, that is, of falsities. And when they are in this abyss, the smallest objection prevails over 1,000 truths, just as a minute particle of dust in contact with the pupil of the eye shuts out the universe and everything it contains. Of such persons the Lord says in Isaiah, "Woe unto those who are wise in their own eyes, and intelligent before their own faces." 5:21. And again, "Thy wisdom and thy science it hath turned thee away, and thou hast said in thine heart, I and none else besides me. And evil shall come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee, which thou shalt not be able to expiate. And vastation shall come upon thee suddenly, of which thou art not aware." 47:10-11. In Jeremiah, "Every man is made stupid by science. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, neither is there breath in them." 51:17. "A graven image is the falsity, and a molten image the evil of the proprium." 2:16. "And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves girdles." To sew leaves together is to excuse themselves. The fig tree is natural good. And to make themselves girdles is to be affected with shame. Thus spake the most ancient people, and thus they described this posterity of the church, signifying that instead of the innocence they had formerly enjoyed, they possessed only natural good, by which their evil was concealed. And being in natural good, they were affected with shame. 2:17. That the vine is used in the word to signify spiritual good and the fig tree natural good is at this day utterly unknown, because the internal sense of the word has been lost. Nevertheless, wherever these expressions occur, they signify or involve this meaning, as also in what the Lord spake in parables concerning a vineyard and a fig tree, as in Matthew. "Jesus, seeing a fig tree in the way, came to it, but found nothing thereon save leaves only. And he said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away." 21:19. By this is meant that no good, not even natural good, was to be found upon the earth. Similar is the meaning of the vine and fig tree in Jeremiah. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, and they knew not how to blush. Therefore I will surely gather them, saith Yahuwah. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf hath fallen. 8 verses 12 and 13. By this is signified that all good, both spiritual and natural, had perished, since they were so depraved as to have lost even the sense of shame, like those at the present day who are in evil, and who, so far from blushing for their wickedness, make it their boast. In Hosea, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripened the fig tree in the beginning. 9 verse 10. And in Joel, be not afraid, ye beasts of my fields, for the tree shall bear its fruit, the fig tree and the vine shall yield their strength. 2 verse 22. The vine here denotes spiritual good, and the fig tree natural good. 2:18, verse 8. And they heard the voice of Yahuwah God going to itself in the garden in the air of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the face of Yahuwah God in the midst of the tree of the garden. By the voice of Yahuwah God going to itself in the garden is signified an internal dictate which caused them to feel afraid, this dictate being the residue of the perception which they had possessed. By the air or breath of the day is denoted a period when the church still possessed some residue of perception. To hide themselves from the face of Yahuwah God is to fear the dictate, as is wont to be the case with those who are conscious of evil. By the midst of the tree of the garden in which they hid themselves is signified natural good. That which is inmost is called the midst. The tree denotes perception, as before. But because there was little perception remaining, the tree is spoken of in the singular number, as if there were only one remaining. 2:19. That by the voice of Yahuwah God going to itself in the garden is meant an internal dictate of which they were afraid, is evident from the signification of voice in the word, where the voice of Yahuwah is used to designate the word itself, the doctrine of faith, conscience, or a taking notice inwardly, and also every reproof thence resulting. Whence it is that thunders are called the voices of Yahuwah, as in John. The angel cried with a loud voice, as a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Revelation 10, verse 3. This denotes that there was then a voice both external and internal. Again, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God shall be consummated. Revelation 10, verse 7. In David, sing unto God, sing praises unto the Lord, who rideth upon the heavens of heavens which were of old. Lo, he shall send out his voice, a voice of strength. Psalm 68, verses 32 and 33. The heavens of heavens which were of old denote the wisdom of the most ancient church. Voice, revelation, and also an internal dictate. Again, The voice of Yahuwah is upon the waters. The voice of Yahuwah is in power. The voice of Yahuwah is in glory. The voice of Yahuwah breaketh the cedars. The voice of Yahuwah divideth the flames of fire. The voice of Yahuwah maketh the wilderness to shake. The voice of Yahuwah maketh the hinds to calve, and uncovereth the forests. Psalm 29, verses 3 to 5 and 7 to 9. And in Isaiah, Yahuwah shall cause the excellency of his voice to be heard, for through the voice of Yahuwah shall Asher be beaten down. 30, verses 30 and 31. 2:20. By the voice going to itself is meant that there was but little perception remaining, and that alone, as it were, by itself and unheard, as is manifest also from the following verse, where it is said, Yahuwah called to the man. So in Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, the voice said, cry. 40, verses 3 and 6. The wilderness is a church where there is no faith. The voice of one crying is the annunciation of the Lord's advent, and in general every announcement of his coming, as with the regenerate with whom there is an internal dictate. 2:21. That by the air or breath of the day is signified a period when the church had still somewhat of perception remaining is evident from the signification of day and of night. The most ancient people compared the states of the church to the times of the day and of the night, to the times of the day when the church was still in light. Wherefore this state is compared to the breath or air of the day, because there was still some remnant of perception by which they knew that they were fallen. The Lord also calls the state of faith day, and that of no faith night, as in John. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. 9, verse 4. The states of the regeneration of man were for the same reason called days in chapter 1. 2:22. That to hide themselves from the face of Yahuwah means to be afraid of the dictate, as is wont to be the case with those who are conscious of evil, is evident from their reply, verse 10. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. The face of Yahuwah, or the Lord, is mercy, peace, and every good, as is clearly evident from the benediction. Yahuwah make his faces to shine upon thee, and be merciful unto thee. Yahuwah lift up his faces upon thee, and give thee peace. Numbers 6, verses 25 and 26. And in David, God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his faces to shine upon us. Psalm 67, verse 1. And in another place, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Yahuwah, lift thou up the light of thy faces upon us. Psalm 4, verse 6. The mercy of the Lord is therefore called the angel of faces in Isaiah. I will make mention of the mercies of Yahuwah. He hath requited them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his mercies, and he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his faces saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. 63 verses 7 to 9. 223. As the face of the Lord is mercy, peace, and every good, it is evident that he regards all from mercy, and never averts his countenance from any, but that it is man, when in evil, who turns away his face, as is said by the Lord in Isaiah. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. 59 verse 2. And here they hid themselves from the face of Yahuwah because they were naked. 224. Mercy, peace, and every good, or the faces of Yahuwah, are the cause of the dictate with those who have perception, and also, although in a different manner, with those who have conscience. And they always operate mercifully, but are received according to the state in which the man is. The state of this man, that is, of this posterity of the most ancient church, was one of natural good. And those who are in natural good are of such a character that they hide themselves through fear and shame because they are naked, while such as are destitute of natural good do not hide themselves, because they are not susceptible of shame, concerning whom, in Jeremiah 8, verses 12 and 13, see above, number 217. 225. That the midst of the tree of the garden signifies natural good in which there is some perception which is called a tree is also evident from the garden in which the celestial man dwelt. For every good and true is called a garden, with a difference according to the man who cultivates it. Good is not good unless its inmost is celestial, from which, or through which, from the Lord comes perception. This inmost is here called the midst, as also elsewhere in the word. 226, verses 9 and 10. And Yahuwah God cried unto the man, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. The meaning of crying, of the voice in the garden, of their being afraid because they were naked, and of hiding themselves, has been previously explained. It is common in the word for man to be first asked where he is and what he is doing, although the Lord previously knew all things. But the reason for asking is that man may acknowledge and confess. 227. As it is desirable that the origin of perception, internal dictate, and conscience should be known, and as at the present day it is altogether unknown, I may relate something on the subject. It is a great truth that man is governed by the Lord by means of spirits and angels. When evil spirits begin to rule, the angels labor to avert evils and falsities, and hence arises a combat. It is this combat of which the man is rendered sensible by perception, dictate, and conscience. By these, and also by temptations, a man might clearly see that spirits and angels are with him, were he not so deeply immersed in corporeal things as to believe nothing that is said about spirits and angels. Such persons, even if they were to feel these combats hundreds of times, would still say that they are imaginary and the effect of a disordered mind. I have been permitted to feel such combats and to have a vivid sense of them thousands and thousands of times, and this almost constantly for several years, as well as to know who, what, and where they were that caused them, when they came and when they departed, and I have conversed with them. 228. It is impossible to describe the exquisite perception whereby the angels discover whether anything gains admission that is contrary to the true of faith and the good of love. They perceive the quality of what enters and when it enters, 1,000 times more perfectly than the man himself, who scarcely knows anything about it. The least of thought in a man is more fully perceived by the angels than the greatest is by himself. This is indeed incredible, yet is most true. 2:29, verses 11 to 13. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And Yehovah God said unto the woman, Why hast thou done this? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The signification of these words is evident from what has been explained before, namely, that the rational of man suffered itself to be deceived by the proprium, because this was dear to him, that is, by the love of self, so that he believed nothing but what he could see and feel. Everyone can see that Yehovah God did not speak to a serpent, and indeed that there was no serpent. Neither did he address the sensual that is signified by the serpent. But that these words involve a different meaning, namely, that they perceive themselves to be deluded by the senses, and yet, in consequence of self-love, were desirous of ascertaining the truth of what they had heard concerning the Lord and concerning faith in him, before they believed it. 2:30. The ruling evil of this posterity was the love of self, without their having at the same time so much of the love of the world as exists at the present day, for they dwelt within their own households and families, and had no desire to accumulate wealth. 2:31. The evil of the most ancient church which existed before the flood, as well as that of the ancient church after the flood, and also that of the Jewish church, and subsequently the evil of the new church, or church of the Gentiles after the coming of the Lord, and also that of the church of the present day, was and is that they do not believe the Lord or the Word, but themselves and their own senses. Hence there is no faith, and where there is no faith there is no love of the neighbor. Consequently, all is false and evil. 2:32. At this day, however, it is much worse than in former times, because men can now confirm the incredulity of the senses by scientifics unknown to the ancients, and this has given birth to an indescribable degree of darkness. If men knew how great is the darkness from this cause, they would be astounded. 2:33. To explore the mysteries of faith by means of scientifics is as impossible as it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, or for a rib to govern the finest fibrils of the chest and of the heart. So gross, indeed, much more so, is that which pertains to our senses and the scientific, relatively to what is spiritual and celestial. He who would investigate the hidden things of nature, which are innumerable, discovers scarcely one, and while investigating them falls into errors, as is well known. How much more likely is this to be the case while investigating the hidden truths of spiritual and celestial life, where myriads of mysteries exist for one that is invisible in nature? As an illustration, take this single example. Of himself man cannot but do what is evil and turn away from the Lord. Yet man does not do these things, but the evil spirits who are with him. Nor do these evil spirits do them, but the evil itself which they have made their own. Nevertheless, man does evil and turns himself away from the Lord and is in fault, and yet he lives only from the Lord. So on the other hand, of himself man cannot possibly do what is good and turn to the Lord, but this is done by the angels. Nor can the angels do it, but the Lord alone. And yet a man is able, as of himself, to do what is good, and to turn himself to the Lord. These facts can never be apprehended by our senses, science, and philosophy. If these are consulted, they will be denied in spite of their truth. And it is the same all through. From what has been said, it is evident that those who consult sensuous things and scientifics in matters of belief plunge themselves not only into doubt, but also into denial, that is, into thick darkness, and consequently into all lusts. For as they believe what is false, they also do what is false. And as they believe that what is spiritual and celestial has no existence, so they believe that there is nothing but what pertains to the body and the world. And so they love everything that belongs to self and the world, and in this way cupidities and evils spring from what is false. Verse 14. And Yahuwah God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above every beast, and above every wild animal of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall trample upon thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. 16. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth sons, and thine obedience shall be to thy man, Vir, and he shall rule over thee. 17. And unto the man he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In great sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. 18. And the thorn and the thistle shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The Contents, number 234. The subsequent state of the church down to the flood is here described. And as at that time the church utterly destroyed itself, it is foretold that the Lord would come into the world and save the human race. 235. Being unwilling to believe anything that could not be apprehended by the senses, the sensual, which is the serpent, cursed itself and became infernal. Verse 14. 236. Therefore, to prevent all mankind from rushing into hell, the Lord promised that he would come into the world. Verse 15. 237. The church is further described by the woman, which so loved self or the proprium as to be no longer capable of apprehending truth, although a rational was given them that should rule. verse 16. 238. The quality of the rational is then described in that it consented and thus cursed itself and became infernal, so that reason no longer remained but ratiocination. Verse 17. 239. The curse and vastation are described, and also their ferine nature. Verse 18. 240. Next, their aversion to everything of faith and love, and that thus from being man they became not men. Verse 19. The internal sense, number 241. The most ancient people, being celestial men, were so constituted that every object they beheld in the world or upon the face of the earth, they indeed saw, but they thought about the celestial and divine things the object signified or represented. Their sight was merely an instrumental agency, and so consequently was their speech. Anyone may know how this was from his own experience, for if he attends closely to the meaning of a speaker's words, he does indeed hear the words, but it is as if he did not hear them, taking in only the sense. And one who thinks more deeply does not attend even to the sense of the words, but to a more universal sense. But the posterities that are here treated of were not like their fathers. For when they beheld the objects in the world and on the face of the earth, since they loved them, their minds cleaved to them, and they thought about them, and from them about things celestial and divine. Thus with them what is sensuous began to be the chief thing, and not as with their fathers the instrumental. And when that which is of the world and of the earth becomes the chief thing, then men reason from this about the things of heaven, and so blind themselves. How this is may also be known by any one from his own experience. For he who attends to the words of a speaker, and not to the sense of the words, takes in but little of the sense, and still less of the universal import of the sense, and sometimes judges of all that a man says from a single word, or even from a grammatical peculiarity. 242, verse 14. And Yahuwah God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above every beast, and above every wild animal of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. By Yahuwah God said unto the serpent, is signified that they perceived their sensual to be the cause. The serpent, cursed above every beast and above every wild animal of the field, signifies that their sensual averted itself from that which is celestial, and turned itself to that which is of the body, and thus cursed itself. The beast and the wild animal of the field here signify affections, as before. The serpent, going upon its belly, signifies that their sensual could no longer look upwards to the things of heaven, but only downwards to those of the body and the earth. Its eating dust all the days of its life signifies that their sensual became such that it could not live from anything but that which is of the body and the earth. That is to say, it became infernal. 243. In the most ancient celestial men, the sensuous things of the body were of such a character as to be compliant and subservient to their internal man, and beyond this they did not care for them. But after they had begun to love themselves, they set the things of sense before the internal man, and therefore those things were separated, became corporeal, and so were condemned. 2:44. Having before shown that by Yahuwah God speaking to the serpent is signified their perceiving the sensual to be the cause of their fall, no more need be said in regard to these words. 2:45. That he said to the serpent, Thou art cursed above every beast and above every wild animal of the field, signifies that the sensual averted itself from that which is celestial, turned itself to that which is of the body, and thus cursed itself, may be clearly shown from the internal sense of the word. Yahuwah God or the Lord never curses anyone. He is never angry with anyone, never leads anyone into temptation, never punishes anyone, and still less does he curse anyone. All this is done by the infernal crew, for such things can never proceed from the fountain of mercy, peace, and goodness. The reason of its being said, both here and in other parts of the word, that Yahuwah God not only turns away his face, is angry, punishes and tempts, but also kills and even curses, is that men may believe that the Lord governs and disposes all and everything in the universe, even evil itself, punishments and temptations. And when they have received this most general idea, may afterwards learn how he governs and disposes all things, by turning the evil of punishment and of temptation into good. In teaching and learning the word, the most general truths must come first, and therefore the literal sense is full of such things. 2:46. That the beast and the wild animal of the field signify affections is evident from what was previously said concerning them, number 45 and 46, to which it is permitted to add the following passage from David. Thou, O God, dost send the rain of thy kindnesses. Thou confirmest thy laboring inheritance. Thy wild animal shall dwell therein. Psalm 68, verses 9 and 10. Here also, wild animal denotes the affection of good, because it is said that it shall dwell in the inheritance of God. The reason why here, and also in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, the beast and the wild animal of the field are mentioned, while in chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, the beast and the wild animal of the earth are named, is that the present passage treats of the church or regenerated man, whereas the first chapter related to what was as yet not a church or to man about to become regenerate. For the word field is applied to the church or to the regenerate. 2:47. That the serpent going on his belly denotes that their sensual could no longer look upwards to the things of heaven, but only downwards to those of the body and the earth, is evident from the fact that in ancient times by the belly such things are signified as are nearest to the earth, by the chest such as are above the earth, and by the head what is highest. It is here said that the sensual, which in itself is the lowest part of man's nature, went upon its belly, because it turned to what is earthly. The depression of the belly even to the earth and the sprinkling of dust on the head had a similar signification in the Jewish church. Thus we read in David, Wherefore hidest thou thy faces, and forgettest our misery and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, and our belly cleaveth to the earth. Arise, a help for us, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Psalm 44, verses 24 to 26. Here also it is evident that when man averts himself from the face of Yahuwah, he cleaves by his belly to the dust and to the earth. In Jonah likewise, by the belly of the great fish into which he was cast, are signified the lower parts of the earth, as is evident from his prophecy. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. 2:2. Here hell denotes the lower earth. 2:48. When therefore man had regard to celestial things, he was said to walk erect, and to look upward or forward, which means the same. But when he had regard to corporeal and earthly things, he was said to be bowed to the earth and to look downward or backward, as in Leviticus. I am Yahuwah your God, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bonds of your yoke, and made you to go erect. 26:13. In Micah, ye shall not thence remove your necks, neither shall ye go erect. 2:3. In Jeremiah, Jerusalem hath sinned a sin, therefore they despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she groaned and hath turned backward. From on high hath he sent fire into my bones, and hath made me to return backward. He hath made me desolate. Lamentations 1:8-13. And in Isaiah, Yahuwah thy Redeemer, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh foolish their science. 44:24-25. 2:49. That to eat dust all the days of its life signifies that their sensual became such that it could not live from anything except that which is of the body and the earth, that is to say, that it became infernal, is evident also from the signification of dust in the word, as in Micah. Feed thy people as in the days of eternity. The nations shall see and shall blush at all their might. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall be shaken out of their holds like creeping things of the earth. 7:14-17. The days of eternity mean the most ancient church. The nations, those who trust in their proprium, of whom it is predicated that they shall lick the dust like a serpent. In David, barbarians shall bow themselves before God, and his enemies shall lick the dust. Psalm 72:9. Barbarians and enemies are those who regard only earthly and worldly things. In Isaiah, dust shall be the serpent's bread. 65:25. As dust signifies those who do not regard spiritual and celestial things, but only what is corporeal and earthly. Therefore the Lord enjoined his disciples that if the city or house into which they entered was not worthy, they should shake off the dust of their feet. Matthew 10:14. That dust signifies what is condemned and infernal will be further shown at verse 19. 2:50:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall trample upon thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Everyone is aware that this is the first prophecy of the Lord's advent into the world. It appears indeed clearly from the words themselves. And therefore from them and from the prophets, even the Jews knew that a Messiah was to come. Hitherto, however, no one has understood what is specifically meant by the serpent, the woman, the serpent's seed, the woman's seed, the head of the serpent which was to be trodden upon, and the heel which the serpent should bruise. They must therefore be explained. By the serpent is here meant all evil in general, and specifically the love of self. By the woman is meant the church. By the seed of the serpent, all infidelity. By the seed of the woman, faith in the Lord. By he, the Lord himself. By the head of the serpent, the dominion of evil in general, and specifically that of the love of self. By to trample upon, depression, so that it should go upon the belly and eat dust. And by the heel, the lowest natural, as the corporeal, which the serpent should bruise. 251. The reason why the serpent means all evil in general, and specifically the love of self, is that all evil has had its rise from the sensual, and also from the scientific, which at first were signified by the serpent. And therefore it here denotes evil of every kind, and specifically the love of self, or hatred against the neighbor and the Lord, which is the same thing. As this evil or hatred was various, consisting of numerous genera and still more numerous species, it is described in the word by various kinds of serpents, as snakes, cockatrices, asps, adders, fiery serpents, serpents that fly and that creep, and vipers, according to the differences of the poison, which is hatred. Thus we read in Isaiah, "Rejoice not thou, whole Philistia, because the rod which smiteth thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall go forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a flying fire serpent." 14, verse 29. The serpent's root denotes that part of the mind or that principle which is connected with the sensual and the scientific. The cockatrice denotes evil originating in the falsity thence derived. And the flying fire serpent, the lust that comes from the love of self. By the same prophet also, similar things are elsewhere thus described. They hatch cockatrices' eggs, and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and when it is crushed, there cometh out a viper. 59, verse 5. The serpent described here in Genesis is called in the Revelation the great and red dragon, and the old serpent, and also the devil and Satan that deceives the whole world. 12, verses 3 and 9, 20, verse 2. Where, and also in other places, by the devil is not meant any particular devil who is prince over the others, but the whole crew of evil spirits, and evil itself. 252. That by the woman is meant the church is evident from what was said above, number 155, concerning the celestial marriage. Such is the nature of the celestial marriage that heaven, and consequently the church, is united to the Lord by the proprium, insomuch that it is in the proprium, for without the proprium there can be no union. When the Lord in mercy insinuates innocence, peace, and good into this proprium, it still appears as proprium, but celestial and most happy, as may be seen at number 164. The quality of a celestial and angelic proprium from the Lord, and the quality of a proprium which, because from self, is infernal and diabolical, cannot yet be told. The difference is like that between heaven and hell. 253. It is by virtue of a celestial and angelic proprium that the church is called a woman and also a wife, a bride, a virgin, and a daughter. She is called a woman in the revelation. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And the dragon persecuted the woman who brought forth the man-child. 12, verse 1, also 4 to 13. In this passage, by a woman is meant the church, by the sun, love, by the moon, faith, by stars, as before, the truths of faith, all of which evil spirits hate and persecute to the utmost. The church is called a woman and also a wife in Isaiah. Thy Maker is thy husband, Yahuwah of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth is he called. For as a woman forsaken and afflicted in spirit hath Yahuwah called thee, and as a wife of youth. 54 verses 5 and 6. Where husband maker is in a certain plural because at the same time proprium. And a woman afflicted and a wife of youth signify specifically the ancient and most ancient churches. Likewise in Malachi. Yahuwah hath borne witness between thee and the wife of thy youth. 2 verse 14. She is called a wife and a bride in the Revelation. I saw the holy city New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. 21 verses 2 and 9. The church is called a virgin and a daughter throughout the prophets. 254. That by the seed of the serpent is meant all infidelity is evident from the signification of a serpent as being all evil. Seed is that which produces and is produced, or that which begets and is begotten. And as the church is here spoken of, this is infidelity. In Isaiah, in reference to the Jewish church in its perverted state, it is called a seed of evildoers, a seed of adultery, a seed of falsehood. Woe to the sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, sons that are destroyers. They have forsaken Yahuwah, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel. They have estranged themselves backward. 1 verse 4. Again, draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer. Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? 57 verses 3 and 4. And again, speaking of the serpent or dragon, who is there called Lucifer. Thou art cast out of thy sepulchre like an abominable shoot, because thou hast corrupted thy land, thou hast slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall not be called to eternity. 14 verses 19 and 20. 255. That the seed of the woman signifies faith in the Lord is evident from the signification of woman as being the church, whose seed is nothing but faith, for it is from faith in the Lord that the church is called the church. In Malachi, faith is called the seed of God. Yahuwah hath witnessed between thee and the wife of thy youth, and not one hath done so who had a residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one, seeking the seed of God? But observe ye in your spirit, lest he deal treacherously against the wife of thy youth. 2:14-15. In this passage the wife of youth is the ancient and most ancient churches, of whose seed or faith the prophet speaks. In Isaiah also, in reference to the church, I will pour waters upon the thirsty, and floods upon the dry. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. 44:3. In the Revelation, the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, who were keeping the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. 12:17. And in David, I have made a covenant with mine elect. I have sworn unto David my servant, even to eternity will I establish thy seed. And his seed will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of the heavens. His seed shall endure to eternity, and his throne as the sun before me. Psalm 89:3, 4, 29, and 36. Here by David is meant the Lord, by throne his kingdom, by the sun love, and by seed faith. 2:56. Not only is faith, but also the Lord himself is called the seed of the woman, both because he alone gives faith, and thus is faith, and because he was pleased to be born, and that into such a church as had altogether fallen into an infernal and diabolical proprium, through the love of self and of the world, in order that by his divine power he might unite the divine celestial proprium with the human proprium in his human essence, so that in him they might be one. And unless this union had been effected, the whole world must have utterly perished. Because the Lord is thus the seed of the woman, it is not said it, but he. 2:57. That by the head of the serpent is meant the dominion of evil in general, and specifically of the love of self, is evident from its nature, which is so direful as not only to seek dominion, but even dominion over all things upon earth. Nor does it rest satisfied with this, but aspires even to rule over everything in heaven, and then, not content with this, over the Lord himself. And even then it is not satisfied. This is latent in every spark of the love of self. If it were indulged and freed from restraint, we should perceive that it would at once burst forth and would grow even to that aspiring height. Hence it is evident how the serpent, or the evil of the love of self, desires to exercise dominion, and how much it hates all those who refuse its sway. This is that head of the serpent which exalts itself, and which the Lord tramples down even to the earth, that it may go upon its belly and eat dust, as stated in the verse immediately preceding. Thus also is described the serpent or dragon called Lucifer in Isaiah. O Lucifer, thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend the heavens, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, I will be made equal to the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. 14:12-15. The serpent or dragon is also described in the Revelation in regard to the way in which he exalts his head. A great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and many diadems upon his heads. But he was cast into the earth. 12:3-9. In David. The saying of Yahuwah to my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Yahuwah shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. He shall judge the nations. He hath filled with dead bodies. He hath bruised the head over much land. He shall drink of the brook in the way, therefore shall he lift up the head. Psalm 110:1-7. 258. That by trampling on or bruising is meant depression, so as to compel it to go on the belly and eat the dust, is now evident from this and the preceding verses. So likewise in Isaiah, Yahuwah hath cast down them that dwell on high. The exalted city he will humble it. He will humble it even to the earth. He will prostrate it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down. 26:4-6. Again, he shall cast down to the earth with the hand. They shall be trampled on by feet, a crown of pride. 28:2-3.